everyone, and welcome back to episode 4 of the Homestead Therapy Podcast. My name is Cindy, and I'm your host. So welcome back, everybody. I hope you're all doing well and enjoying the weather, because we're not. We're back to cold, which I know I shouldn't complain, because we are in the Canadian prairies where we should expect cold, but normally we have like a day or two or a couple days, but it feels like the cold has gone on forever. It has been so cold that we have actually had to carry buckets of hot water to the animals every day, twice a day, because our hydrant froze. So we can't get water at the barn anymore. So we're carrying hot water. We've been giving extra bedding. We are wearing like multiple layers to do chores. It is ridiculous. And I think we're all starting to go a little stir crazy, because you literally cannot spend any amount of time outside because you'll just freeze. I have blisters around on my cheekbones, because that is like the only place besides my eyes that I did not have covered to go out and do chores every day. And the cold has actually made little blisters. That is how cold it is. So my kids are going a little stir crazy. They, they go to school, they come home, and we are in the house. So we're trying to come up with all sorts of different things to do in the house. There has been a whole lot more TV and game time than I am comfortable with, but we're all just going crazy. So hopefully we will get a break in the cold. I know it's supposed to get a little bit warmer on the weekend, which is good, because we've been waiting for the cold to go away, or at least let up a bit, so that we can process a couple of our pigs. And it has just been too cold to do that. So this weekend is supposed to warm up, but then I saw on the weather that it said we're going to have like 2 days of warm with apparently tons of snow, which I'm okay with, but then right back to cold again. So I don't know. I think we're just going to be cold for the rest of the winter, I've decided. So I guess we're just going to have to get used to it. But other than that, yeah, we're all doing okay. Everybody seems to be healthy. Other than our boy, he's got a little bit of a cold, but everybody else, I think we got rid of the bugs when we did the whole airing out and cleaning everything and opening of the windows on the last little cold warm spell we had. So that's good. So I don't know if any of you have noticed, but we have been having a little bit of technical difficulty. We've been trying to get the podcast to all be in one spot and to upgrade our audio a little bit, and it's just not working. So we do have another podcast that was supposed to be coming out, and it got lost, and the computer, it's just one technical difficulty after another. So we're working on it. We're trying. Hopefully this one will work and we won't have to re-record. This is like the third time I've recorded this one. So hopefully this one does not get lost somewhere in cyberspace. But I appreciate everybody who stuck with us and your patience. Hopefully we'll get all the little kinks worked out and it'll be smooth sailing and we'll be good to go. The website is going well, so the blog and website, it's coming, but again, we had the trouble with the podcast, so we kind of were focusing on that and didn't get as much of the blog done as we wanted to, but it is coming. So hopefully, we're new to the technical world of podcasting, so we just are working on it. So in other news, we had kind of a sad little moment around here. So we have three turkeys. We have Tom, the Tom, and we have his two girlfriends, Blanche and Letitia. And then we also had six ducks. So we had one male duck and then five female ducks. So he had, a little group. And they all are in the same pen. They have a nice coop that's nice and warm, and it's got lots of insulation and straw and stuff to keep them warm. And then it has like an outside run area, so that they can come out and get some fresh air and exercise and that sort of thing. Well, unfortunately, the fox that we have been trying to catch all year, Like, it took a lot of chickens over this last year, and we've set traps and we've tried everything to catch it. We have not been able to catch it. Well, it got in to the pen where the turkeys and the ducks were and somehow got in but could not get out, which was kind of a blessing in a way, because it meant that we actually got the fox. So he got in and killed four of the ducks, unfortunately. Grandpa found him in there and dispatched of the fox. Thank you, Grandpa. But yeah, not before he took out four ducks. The turkeys did really well, actually. Tom, being the big, strong male that he is, who really thinks of the ducks and everybody that's in that pen as his flock, he actually attacked the fox and hurt the fox and managed to hold him off, so that the turkey girls, so Blanche and Letitia, got up onto the chicken coop and were, or turkey coop, and were sitting up on top of there, and then he got up there, but of course the ducks couldn't fly, so he got the ducks, but we got the fox, so I guess that's the silver lining. So sad though that we are down to two ducks now. They are doing well. They were a little traumatized, but they're doing okay. We give them a little, you know, extra love and a little extra food and some extra love. But yeah, they're doing okay. But, you know, at least we got the fox, so that's good. Yeah, so we got in a load of wood chips, which we use wood chips for a lot around here, actually. We use them a lot in our chicken coops. So in the chicken coop, when we clean the coops, we put down a good layer of the wood chips, and it really just helps to absorb any moisture and that sort of stuff, and it also makes it smell really good, and it just makes it really easy, much easier to clean, because it doesn't stick to the floor like when you put straw down. The straw doesn't absorb quite as well, so we always put a good layer of wood chips. The nest boxes all have wood chips in them, and then we put straw on top of that for the chickens and the ducks and that sort of thing. I use them in my garden around, or my flower beds around, some of my herbs and that sort of thing. And so they went on sale. So we went and bought, you know, like 10 ginormous bags of them. So we've got those put into the new goat shed, which is kind of nice. Because when we built the goat shed, our intention was to use the front of it, cause it's quite big, for storage. So we stacked up a bunch of, you know, square straw bales and hay bales, so we don't have to haul them all the way from our cattle shed, which is where they're usually stored, which is quite a ways to haul them. So we stored up those, and then on the other side we put the wood chips. So it's actually worked out really well, so we're quite excited about that. Where they're right beside the barn, right where we're going to use them. I think I'm going to use them also in our kind of kidding room. So in our new goat barn, we've got pens built, but what we're going to do is we're going to actually build like a little house kind of hut thing for the babies to go in, that they can kind of have a little extra protection for heat and, you know, not have to worry so much about being laid on or anything when they're tiny. So I think we're going to put the wood chips in there, and then as like an extra layer of insulation, and then put some straw on top of that as well, because I think it'll work really well. So we picked that up. We got our seed order and plant order figured out, I think. We have gotten tons of seed catalogs, which I love, and most homesteaders just, we live for the seed catalog day to come, because it really breaks up the winter. So being that it's been so cold, we've been working on that. And so the seed catalog that we're going to order from, we found some really good live plants that we're going to try. So they had a lot of strawberries. So I think we had talked about how we wanted to put in more strawberries. So we did put in 200 plants, but I think we're going to put in, we're going to put in another 150. So these ones, the ones that we put in last year are a June bearing, so they're more of an earlier strawberry. And the ones we're going to order now, I think we decided on, are an everbearing, so we'll have strawberries for a longer period of time. So so we're going to try those. They had a lot of good raspberry varieties that are good for our cold weather and short seasons, so we're going to try a few different kinds. I think we picked out two kinds. One is supposed to be like a bigger, sweeter berry that comes later on, more like an early fall, and then one is a little bit of a smaller berry, but it is an earlier one. So we're trying to kind of stagger it so that we don't have all of our fruit or all of our vegetables at one time, because it's so hard to try and process and can and dehydrate and you know, do something with all of this stuff without it going to waste. So we're hoping that by getting these couple different varieties of things that we can spread that out and just make it a little less chaotic when it comes to harvesting. So yeah, we picked those out, and they also, which I'm really super excited about, have a variety of blackberry that is supposed to be good for our zone. So I'm going to try it because my grandma, who passed away a little over a year ago right now, she lived on Vancouver Island, and on Vancouver Island, they have blackberries like everywhere. And so anytime I went to visit my grandma, we would go walking and picking blackberries, and they were so good. And I love blackberries. But of course, in Saskatchewan where we are, you just can't really grow a blackberry here. They don't grow very well. So I'm really excited to try these, and hopefully, I'm only getting a couple plants to try, and if they work, then we'll get more, but I want to try it, and you know, it'll be my kind of little treat. So because it has been so cold, the kids have been in the house, like I said, going crazy. So I've been trying to keep them busy, but school has been ridiculously busy. Like, not just with school work, but all sorts of extracurricular activities have started up. So we are running into town every day to pick up somebody. This is like one of the things when you have multiple children, they seem to always have something on a different day. So it never works out that everybody's gone the same day. So we have archery and drama and curling and cooking class and guitar lessons, and it's craziness. So we've been running like crazy for that. So at least that part's good. The kids have been kept busy with school stuff. Or with activities with school. So, you know, that helps to break it up a little bit too, because then they have lots of practicing and things to do at home. So that's good. So I made soap the other day. I made goat's milk soap. So right now, obviously, we don't have anybody who's in milk, but when we do have goats in milk, and even when we're milking Maggie, I take the milk and I'll portion out or weigh out the amount I need for a batch of soap. And then I put it in a zippered bag and I put it in the freezer and I freeze it like that. So then come wintertime, because I don't generally make soap in the summertime because we're just too busy with other stuff. But come wintertime, I will make up batches and batches and batches of soap, and then we have enough to get us through the year. So, yeah, so I have a couple packages of milk left, goat's milk. So I made up a batch of goat's milk soap. I put calendula and chamomile and orange, because that's my son's favorite. He likes the orange smell. So I made that for goat's milk. And then I found a recipe for a shampoo bar. So right now we just buy our shampoo, and I hate it. I want to get away from, you know, buying that sort of stuff, because I'm trying to cut our food budget or our grocery budget. And so, you know, I looked, and that was one of the things we spend a lot on is shampoo and toiletries, right? And so I found this recipe for a shampoo bar. Now, I've used a shampoo bar before and I really enjoy them. I've never made one before. I don't know why, because I make lots of soap. I just have never thought of it, I guess. But I found this recipe, and it was a peppermint rosemary shampoo bar. So I tried that, made that up. So it's curing now. We'll see. I noticed it didn't set right in the very middle. So that's, you know, something, but we'll see what happens. I'm going to give it needs about 5 weeks to cure. So I'm going to give it 5 weeks to cure, and we'll try it out, and hopefully it turns out, because it would be nice to not have to buy shampoo. So and I also found another one that actually uses coconut milk, so I'm kind of excited about that one too. I think I'm going to give that one a try. Maybe next week I'll make that one up and make up another batch of goat's milk soap. Because usually when I do soap, I try to do a couple at a time, because I already have all the stuff dirty and pulled out, and, you know, do those up. And then I want to make some lotion. So we have bees, right? So we have beeswax, and I've got honey, and we've got the goat's milk and all those things. So I want to make up some goat's milk lotion with honey and that in it. So I have made lotion before. I do make it. It turns out okay. I haven't found a recipe that I really really like that is not greasy, but, you know, soaks in well. So I'm going to try this one that's got the honey in it and the beeswax and that sort of thing and see how that one does, because wintertime skin is so dry. So I'm thinking with the wax and all that sort of stuff in it that it should be really good for that dry winter skin. Okay, so on today's episode, we're going to talk about my top 5 favorite homestead books. And so I know there's the internet. My children tell me this all the time. Mom, we can just go online and look that up. Why do we need a book? But I love books. There is something to be said about just holding a real book in your hand, being able to flip through the pages, look at the pictures. There's just something about a real book. So yes, the internet is there. I use the internet. I love it. Don't get me wrong. But we need books too. And these are just 5 of my favorites. I have a huge homestead library that I use all the time. I'm forever looking through, getting ideas, tips, you know, something maybe didn't work that we were trying. So I'll look, you know, look up that. They're just a fantastic idea to have at least some books. I'm sure everybody has their favorites, but these are my favorites. So the first one, The Nourishing Homestead by Ben Hewitt and Penny Hewitt. This is really good practical advice from homesteaders who've been there, who are doing it. You know, it talks about how they've set up their homestead, what they've done, how they do it. But at the same time, is giving you a look into what they do. It also gives you that ideas and references and, you know, different things to try. So I find talking to other homesteaders and talking to other people who are interested in the same thing, you know, you get lots of ideas, and this book just feels a lot like just talking to another homesteader. I read this one cover to cover. It is so good. It gives you, you know, advice on, you know, the soil and the different skills that you need for being a homesteader. It gives advice on food, like growing, preserving, storing, all of that. So it's not just it kind of covers everything, which is nice. So it's kind of everything you can think of with homesteading. My favorite part of the book, though, is definitely children on the homestead and their tips on how to involve your children more. You know, I have 4 children. I love my kids and they are fantastic. They are involved in our homestead. They all have different jobs and different talents, and they do different things, but we're still always looking for ways that we can get them more involved, and, you know, different things we can do with them. And so the chapter on, you know, involving your kids in the homestead, give me some other ideas and some other things that I would have never thought about. So that is, you know, was one of my favorite chapters, is definitely involving your kids. So it's kind of nice to read a book that is from a family point of view. And that's kind of what this feels like, because it's like a family homestead, which is what we are, right? So that is my first favorite book. My next favorite book has to be The Illustrated Encyclopedia of Country Living by Abigail Gering. Now, seriously, this book covers everything. It goes from animals to cooking and preserving, building things, crafts, gardening, alternative energy, health and wellness, you name it, it is in this book. It is my homestead Bible. It is huge. It's a big, thick book. It's heavy. You know, it's not really detailed with a lot of the stuff, but it's got such great ideas. It's got a lot of pictures, and a lot of stuff is really broken down and the basics. It's a very good book on with the basics, and I love it. You know, I have used this book to the point where it looks pretty ratted and tattered and, you know, worn out, but the information in here, it gives you such great ideas. You have to check it out. It is great. So my next favorite book. So this is my go-to gardening book. Okay. This is The Year-Round Vegetable Gardener by Nikki Jabour. Now, it is fantastic for anybody who is in a cold climate or has a short growing season. I mean, it's good for everybody, but those of us with the short season and the cold climate, it is definitely for us. It has wonderful info on the plants to grow, how to extend your growing season, tips and tricks on ways you can make things work in the cold. So, you know, it talks about cold frames and high tunnels, greenhouses, all that stuff, as well as the different types of plants to grow and the different strains of those to grow, which ones work, which ones don't. It's really good for that sort of stuff. So definitely that is my go-to gardening book. I highly recommend it. And I think she's actually got a couple of books out, or at least one more. I've only just read the one. So I'm going to check it out and see if there's another one, because I can't imagine that it would be, you know, not worth the read, because this one is so good. It also talks about like succession planting, which is something that I think I struggle with a little bit, because I always think, oh, we don't have enough time to grow that, or okay, well, there's no point in growing more of that because it won't have time to you know, fully develop or whatever. And she talks about that. So that really gave me some ideas about things I'm going to do differently this year and things I'm going to work on in my garden. So that was pretty good. My next book is actually not a book. It is a series of books. It's The Stories Guide to Whatever. So there's, you've probably all heard of The Stories Guide to Raising Chickens or whatever. The Stories Guide to Raising Chickens, Bees, Cows, Pigs. There's even a one on llamas. They have wonderful, very in-depth books about each of those subjects. So I have, you know, quite a few of their books. They are great. They talk about everything from choosing the breed right to managing the flock, if it's the birds, and housing and processing the animal, making money from them, care, any health issues, literally anything you can think of for whatever animal it is, they have an answer to. I have not found anything that they haven't been able to answer yet. And I have, like I said, I have the one for chickens, I have the bees, I have the dairy goat one, I have the one for dairy cows. Is it dairy cows? Yeah, dairy cows. I have like a lot of them. So it is a very, very good series of books. And if you are thinking of raising any sort of animal, I highly suggest getting The Stories Guide to Raising Whatever It Is That You Want, because they are so good. It's a great little kind of reference book to just have around. So my next, or not last favorite, but my probably all-time favorite one on this list is The Welcome to the Farm by Shay Elliott. So Shay Elliott has some of the most delicious looking recipes, y'all, I have ever seen. So she has such down-to-earth advice in this book on growing your own food and how to preserve that food, raising animals, everything. And the recipes in here, there are some wonderful recipes. I have made quite a few of them. They are great. She has just such a, like I said, a down-to-earth way of talking and telling you about these things. And it is just, it is a phenomenal. You know, there's a lot of little lists about, you know, how to, like, when to breed your cow, raising chickens, you know, when you would breed your animals, all of that sort of thing. And I just find that it's such an easy read with some fantastic, wonderful information. So, and like I said, the recipes, y'all, oh, you have to try them. They just look so good and they are tasty. I have, like I said, made quite a few of them and they are very, very tasty. And she also has some beautiful pictures in this book. So the photography in there is really nice. So check that one out. That is definitely, like I said, one of my favorites. All right. So those are my five top favorite. I could have gone on for days about books, because like I said, I have a very big library and I love books. So I could have gone on for days. But those are just my top five that I think are kind of touch on a little bit of everything, but are very helpful and great for anybody who's starting out, or even if you've been doing this for a little while, but just need kind of a little boost of, you know, and boost of ideas. They're great for that. So Yeah, I think that's it. We're gonna next week hopefully be all good to go, have all the little technical bugs worked out, and be able to just smooth sailing and not have to do this repeatedly. So yeah, until next week, we will y'all have a good week, and God bless.
All right, so in the last little bit, we got two of our pigs processed. So I know we had every hope and intention of doing them ourselves, and we had bought a meat saw. We were all set up, ready to go, but our meat stores in the freezer were getting really severely low. Like, we had 6 packages of meat left. That was it. So with the cold, and it's just because it had been so cold, and, you know, like I had said before, we don't have anywhere to do our meat, so we have to do it outside for the most part. And with the cold, we just decided that it would be easier if we would just take it into the abattoir and let him process it for us these first two, just so we could get the meat. And so we still have 4 pigs left, and so they're not ready yet. They probably won't be ready for another little bit. We're hoping that by the time they're ready, the weather will have warmed up some, and we can do them ourselves. So we did, like I said, get the pork done, just not the way we wanted to, but we are really lucky. The abattoir that we deal with are really, really good. They're really super close. So, I mean, it was good. It's just that we had hoped to do it ourselves to save the money, but we needed the meat, so it was a good trade-off. So yeah, we got those done. Like I said, the cold has been crazy, so we've been doing a lot of extra bedding of everybody, making sure everybody's got, you know, warm bedding, hauling warm water out for the animals just to give them warm water instead of just the cold, making sure everybody's got lots of extra food to keep warm. So we spend a lot of our time doing that. And then chopping wood, of course, and hauling wood into the house. You know, we haven't really done a whole lot because it's just been cold. So, I know, I keep saying that, but we're so over the cold. So, on the upside, my Icelandic knit sweater is coming along quite nicely. I'm almost done. I had to rip it back like 4 times because I kept making a mistake in the pattern and would have to rip it all back and start again. But I am almost done. I did find another mistake in it, and I kind of feel like now I'm at the point where I'm just going to embrace the mistake, actually. I'm not even going to tear it back. I'm just going to go with it. It's a tiny little mistake. I'm the only one that's going to know it's there. It's probably going to bug me because I'm kind of a perfectionist that way, but I don't even care. At this point, I'm over ripping back the sweater, and I'm just going to just embrace the mistake. So that is my goal, to get my sweater done this week, because with the cold, I could definitely use my beautiful merino wool sweater. So we do have a email set up now. So if you guys want to send us in any of your questions or comments, we would love to hear from you. So it is homesteadtherapy@mail.com. So super easy. And yeah, you can find us there and send us a little email and let us know how you're doing and what you think, and if you have any questions we can answer. And I would really like to thank one of my listeners, Angela. She sent me in some information about my struggle with my technical issues. So she had heard on the last podcast about how I was struggling with my technical problems. And so she sent me a little voice clip, and I apologize. I don't know how to send a voice clip back or how to reply. But yeah, everything that she said in there was exactly the problems I was having. And so, I'm just going to follow her advice, and so far it seems to be working good. So thank you, Angela. That was really helpful. I appreciate it immensely. So because we processed the pigs, I made head cheese, or I tried to make head cheese. So, anybody who follows us on Instagram, that's where we do a lot of our updating of what we've been doing and pictures. So feel free to find us on Instagram, Homestead Therapy there too. But I tried to make head cheese. Now, I don't personally like head cheese, but my father-in-law loves head cheese. And I thought, you know, we got these pigs done. We had 2 pig heads. I'm going to use them because we're really trying not to waste any meat. So normally we would just not even bother getting the heads, but I thought, no, I'm going to get them and make this head cheese. Well, I don't know what I did, but it was, yeah, it was not good. We're not even sure. I don't know. I followed all the instructions, and it said that, you know, boil the head down and then take the meat off and, you know, pour the stuff on. And I did everything that the book said to do, and we basically ended up with fat. So the whole, there was like not much gel. It was just fat and grease through the whole thing. It was awful. And bless my father-in-law and my husband for trying it and just not even saying anything. Like, I am very much, I like constructive criticism. So, you know, if something's not good, I want them to tell me so that I can fix it or improve it or know or whatever. And they just said nothing. I think they're afraid they're going to hurt my feelings, which, I mean, it didn't hurt my feelings, but I was like so disappointed because I was so excited that I had made this head cheese and that it was going to be this wonderful thing, and it was really not. And so I felt so bad for them because I was like, so how was it? And they were like, well, you know, it was good-ish, but I didn't really care for it. And so I said, okay, well, what was wrong with it? And yeah, that's when they said it was kind of nasty. And so when I looked at it, it was, yeah. It was very greasy. So I kind of did some research. I think I know what I did wrong, and I still have one more pig head in my freezer. I'm going to give it another shot, see what I can do. Hopefully I figured out what I have to do. So basically I think what I did was I just boiled everything, and I, you know, peeled the meat off, chopped it up, put it in my pans, and then just, you know, seasoned with my herbs and salt, pepper, and that sort of thing. And then I just poured the juice or the what was left in the pot over top. And I think what I need to do, which is what the step I was that I think I missed. Wasn't in the book, but I think this is what I'm going to try, is to let it cool even overnight, the meat and your juice that you have, your broth, and then skim the fat off the top and then boil that down a little bit, what's left, to thicken it, and then yeah, pour that broth over top, and hopefully doing that, it'll take the fat out and then it will be much better. So that's my hope. So also with our pork, because we had the two pork, I have been rendering lard, and so I got all our lard rendered except for I think I have one bag of a bag of trimmings left to do, so, which is so nice because we were down to our last, like, I think we had a half a jar of lard left, and that was it. And I use lard for like everything. I use it for my bread, I use it for greasing pans, I use it for cooking in, we use lard for everything. So we were really getting desperate. So it's really nice to have the fresh lard and, you know, just even the fresh pork. What's really exciting, my husband and our daughter worked on a smoker and built a beautiful smoker. They did a fantastic job. It's gorgeous. They built the smoker and we tried our hand at smoking. So we smoked a side of bacon, and we smoked a ham, and we smoked ribs, and they were really good. The ribs and the bacon were a little bit salty, and so we're thinking that maybe because we put them in the brine with the ham and everything, and I'm thinking that maybe because they were smaller, we didn't need to leave them in quite as long as we did. So we're going to try that. Or I would like to try, I found a few different ideas for a dry cure. And so instead of soaking it in the brine for a couple days, we would just, you know, rub the stuff on outside and let it kind of soak in. So we're going to try that, I think, next time. So we really liked the meat and it tasted really good. You know, it was delicious. That wasn't a problem. It was just a little bit salty. The ham was really good. It was perfect. I think that next time, like I said, we're going to just tweak our curing a little bit. And I would like to try and figure out how to cure with celery seed or celery salt. I saw somewhere something about celery instead of like the cure that's got all the nitrates and that sort of thing in it. So I'd like to do a little more research on that, because of course I don't like a lot of, you know, the cured meats, and because of my liver disease, I can't actually have a lot of cured meat. So it'd be nice if we could figure out how to do it without that. So those are some things we're working on there. the smoker turned out amazing. It worked really well. We found a few little things that we need to tweak with that. So we are new to smoking. We have never smoked meat before, so we're learning. So if anybody has any tips or advice about smoking, we would love to hear from you. One of the things that we found with the smoker was when you were trying to smoke your meat and it is minus 97. Okay, well, it wasn't quite minus 97. It was like minus 45, which is pretty close to minus 97. I feel like when you get to over minus 40, it just, it doesn't matter. That number doesn't even matter. It is just cold. But anyway, when we got, while we were smoking, we were using a propane tank with a little burner with our wood chips on top. And so because it was so cold, the propane tank kept freezing up. And then it would stop. And so we were having a real struggle trying to keep the propane tank going. And so Colin figured out a way to kind of put it up against the smoker, not too close that it would be too hot, but enough that it would get the heat from there and then wrap it in a blanket. And he, bless his little heart, he was out there babysitting that smoker for, you know, like 12 hours the one day. He was nearly frozen to death, but he was determined that we were going to have this beautiful smoked meat, and it turned out good. So, you know, in the end, it was good, but we have to figure out a little different way to smoke with either wood, just wood, or do something different with the propane so it doesn't freeze up. So we're kind of got to work on that. And we figure there's a few places that we think we need to maybe not let so much of the smoke out, like to hold it in a little bit more, so make it a little more airtight. So we'd left some spaces for, you know, airflow, but I think it was maybe left too much. So we're working on it and we're learning, and it's been a lot of fun. The kids have really enjoyed, you know, helping build and seeing the meat. So the next thing we're going to do is we have a lot of ground pork and we have a little bit of moose left. So we're gonna actually grind them together and make some sausage and smoke some sausage. And then we want to make a nice breakfast, like a maple breakfast sausage or something like that for, I don't think we're going to smoke the breakfast sausage. I think we're just going to make that and put it in the freezer. So we've got some ground meat left to do with that. So yeah, the last week and a half, 2 weeks has been a lot about pork. There's been a lot of porky stuff. But other than that, you know, we've been doing really well. Speaking of pork, the pigs, the four that were left, they have, so I think I told you guys that, you know, their pen area, they have, a smaller area. It's probably, I would say 50 by 50-ish, and I'm really bad with estimating measurements, but it's a good size area, that is all pallets and enclosed, and it has like their little hut in it for them to sleep in. It's got their water and their food and all that in that area. So it's kind of more sheltered because of the pallets. So then there's a hole in the wall in there, and then they've got a big, huge area, and I couldn't even tell you how big it is because it's quite a good size, that we had fenced off with electric fence for them to go out and pasture. And so even with the winter time, they are still going. They are crazy, these pigs. Like, it was minus, like I said, 47 one day, and I could look down towards the pig pen and they were still out running in the pasture area, running back and forth, chasing each other around like crazy. It was craziness. I personally would have just been snuggled up in my little hut, but they were all about the running. Anyway, we haven't had the actual electric fence on for probably, I would say, a good couple months, just because of the snow and the ice, and the cable that runs to the electric fence wasn't working. And so we had just unplugged it and they were staying in there anyway. So we were like, oh, this is great. They yesterday discovered that the electric fence was not working. And so when Colin went out to do chores, because I just was not feeling well, so he went out to do chores, the pigs were all up at the barn, just hanging out, waiting to see what was going to happen and checking out the world. And so he came in the house and was like, what am I going to do with these pigs? Like, how do I get the pigs back in? I had no great pearls of wisdom. Then I said, like, try and take, you know, a pail of chop and see if they'll just follow you in. Well, he didn't even have to take a pail. He said he went, walked out there, and they just all came running up to him and were like, hey, what you got, Dad? And he walked into their pen and they just all followed him and went right back in and then he, you know, gave them some scraps and some water and they were happy. So it worked out well, but we were a little afraid that they were going to be wild pigs and we were never going to get them back in. But thankfully they actually went back into their pen. So we did that. Some exciting news is that I noticed today a couple of our goats. So we have 6 females and one buck. So we have 6 does and one buck. And I noticed that 2 of our does, two of our younger ones, are starting to make a little bit of a bag. So hopefully within the next, 2-ish, 3 weeks, maybe a little longer, we should have baby goats, which I'm excited about, but at the same time I'm a little concerned because it is supposed to stay cold for like the next month, and I really don't want frozen little baby ears again because we had that last year and it wasn't even that cold. So we are going to have to bust our butts and try and get some sort of heated little goat box made for them, because yeah, I have a fear that we're going to have frozen baby goat ears because the cold. But it's exciting because we all love the baby goats. They have such personalities, and that also means that we are going to have milk again. Yay, because I'm so tired of buying milk in the store. This makes me very sad because it just doesn't taste the same. There's nothing like your own farm fresh milk. So goat milk, it'll be so exciting. And Miss Maggie, she's supposed to be April 4th, so then we'll have cow's milk coming up. But yeah, goat milk is going to be fun. Some cheese, that sort of thing. We got actually, a new yogurt maker. So I've always just made my yogurt in a pot on the stove and then put it, you know, near the wood stove or in a warm spot and let it sit. And it's been fine. We have had lots of yogurt. But I found on Amazon actually this really cool little yogurt maker that had 7 little cups with lids. That I could make yogurt in. And I thought, you know, because it's been so cold, we've had trouble, you know, keeping things warm enough. And so I bought it and it worked really, really well. So I'm excited because I put the yogurt in, I make it in the little cups. And the nice thing is it's got the little cups with lids so the kids just take them to school or, you know, grab them for a snack. Even, you know, my husband, who is a yogurtaholic, has discovered, because of course I just make plain yogurt, he can take our homemade strawberry jam and mix it in there, and he has like strawberry drinkable yogurt stuff that he thinks is fantastic, which is great because it's good for him. So yeah, so that's been very exciting. With the kids, we have been trying to keep them busy just because of the ridiculous cold. They haven't been outside a whole lot. They've gone outside, you know, the days that it is a little bit warmer. And I mean, by a little bit warmer, I mean it's been like minus 27, minus 28, but that's still warmer than normal. We've been sending them outside even for, you know, a half an hour or so just to get some fresh air. So they've been playing outside some, making some snow forts. And in the house, we have been, you know, working on some crafts and working on teaching kids to knit and crochet and make bracelets and, you know, trying to do things that are not always the TV. Because I feel like in the wintertime, we watch a lot more TV than I like, or play a lot more, like, video games than I like. And it drives me crazy because I don't like that stuff, but in the wintertime in the Canadian prairies, I don't know what else you do for months on end in the house. So in summertime, we turn our TV pretty much off and we just keep like our weather channel and our local for the news. And otherwise, cause we're just never in the house, but right now, yeah. And we've been reading. So, our youngest son, well, our only son, our youngest child, we finished reading Charlotte's Web, which he was really enjoying. So we finished reading Charlotte's Web. So we went and he picked out a new book, and he picked out The Jungle Book actually. So, which is surprisingly one that I have never read before. So we're reading The Jungle Book. He's really enjoying it. So that's been fun. With our youngest daughter, I've been reading the Little House on the Prairie series. I think we're on like the 15th time we've read it, and we love it. So we are, I think, the 3rd or 4th book in and enjoying it immensely. So, and my mom actually had The Little House on the Prairie. So the series, the original series is about Laura, and then my mom has ones that are about like Caroline and Martha and Charlotte, which are like the grandma's, so like Caroline's parents, so mom and that. So we're gonna, I think, finish reading this series about Laura, and then we're gonna go back and read about her family and how they got to where they are. So that's kind of exciting. So it'll stretch us out, and hopefully, you know, by the time we're done reading all these books, it'll be summertime when we can go outside and do some fun. So yeah, we've been doing that. And then I'm hoping in the next probably 2 weeks I'm gonna start some seeds, and I'm probably not so much like my tomatoes things, but like a lot of my herbs I'm thinking. So I put in, I don't know, I think I told you guys, I put in my seed order. And so we had ordered all of our seeds and ordered a bunch of trees and plants and that sort of thing. So they sent the seeds, and of course they don't send your live plants until like May or April, end of April, beginning of May, or whenever your frost date is or whenever it's ready to plant. So those they didn't send, but they sent all of our seeds. So that was kind of nice. We organized them and looked. And so I think we're going to start some of our herbs. So like our lavender and our chamomile, maybe not our basil or any of those ones yet, because they're a little bit quicker one, and most of the time I just kind of plant them straight into the garden. But some of our other ones, like this year I added in fennel, and I am adding in some mullein. I'm going to try and see how that does. So those are kind of some things that I'm going to be working on. So I'm hoping that by getting my hands dirty and in the dirt and getting into some gardening a little bit, maybe it'll perk me up a bit and make me feel a little better, because I just, this sitting in the house, I'm telling you. But yeah, so that is what we have been up to. And you know, I appreciate all the likes we've been getting on the podcast, so I hope that you guys have been enjoying it. I've been really enjoying doing it and sharing all our information with you and sharing what we've been doing. And yeah, like I said, if you have any questions or comments or ideas, please feel free to send them to us at homesteadtherapy@mail.com, and we will, you know, try and answer them for you. So I'm hoping to have a few guest people on in the next little bit here. I'm working on that, so that'll be some fun stuff. And you know, got some other stuff hopefully we'll be doing. And once spring comes, I'm telling you, there'll be all sorts of cool, fun information. But thank you, everybody, and I hope you all have a wonderful day and a wonderful week, and God bless.